Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. It's time to go for a tour inside the ring. That, of course, is the title of the prize-winning column authored by Bill Gertz, one of the best national security journalists of our time. He is also, of course, a senior editor of the Washington Free Beacon. His writings in these places, as well as his six books, are really required reading in Washington, D.C., and I think across the country. Bill, as always, it's great to have you with us, sir.
Hi, Frank. Great to be on the show.
I want to talk a little bit about a couple of things that have been happening in the China portfolio, a subject you're very, very attuned to and have been writing about for years. Maybe I could start with North Korea is sort of, as I understand it, now the subject of a concern, a warning even, by its principal sponsor, namely Communist China. What's that about, and why should we be concerned?
Well, basically, the Chinese are definitely on a roll. They perceive the United States as in a period of weakness, and they're making a major military push to drive the United States out of Asia. That's what's going on. They're also targeting Japan. We've got the Prime Minister of Japan coming to Washington next week, and that's certainly going to highlight the importance of strengthening the U.S.-Japan relationship, which I think has kind of languished under the Obama administration, which has really kind of adopted an isolationist, anti-U.S. position on a lot of this. But the Chinese are in full gear. They're also gearing up for the election campaign. They issued a kind of subtle warning to Hillary Clinton in their state-sponsored People's Daily. That's the official Communist Party newspaper. It basically told Hillary, don't bash China during the campaign, which they expect to happen. So we'll see what happens on that score. But, of course, Clinton, she has a history of taking Chinese money going back to the 90s during the Bill Clinton administration.
Yeah, and there's been an awful lot of reporting, and I guess we'll be seeing much more of it, I trust, from you as well as others, on all of the people, including adversaries of this country like China, that the Clintons under their foundation or Bill Clinton's speeches or what have you have been raking in, even though there's some very clear reason to be concerned that that may have compromised American policy or certainly been a kind of pay-to-play access to the Secretary of State. This comes, among other things, from this new book by Peter Schweitzer, Clinton Cash. And Bill, I'm sure this wasn't terribly surprising to you, given the long study you've been doing of both the Clintons and the Chinese operations. But is this sort of qualitatively different, if only because of the scale of what these guys have been doing lately?
The Chinese understand information warfare, and they're fully engaged in a broad strategic attack against the United States, and it involves every element of our society, the business community, the academic community, intelligence operations, and certainly buying influence is one of them. When I was traveling in Japan recently, I was told that the Chinese are actually hiring former and retired U.S. and Japanese military officers, high-ranking officers, to work in their think tanks and basically to be paid spokesmen for the Chinese regime.
Bill, just to double back to the question at the beginning, are you surprised that the Chinese are warning that the North Koreans seem to have perhaps now or shortly will have as many as 40 nuclear weapons? Is that part of this larger strategy of indicating that they and their proxies are now so powerful that we better get out of there, stop trying to protect our allies and so on? Or are they genuinely now surprised and concerned for their own security by what their clients may be up to?
Not really. I see this as part of the information operations, specifically to woo the South Koreans. They've got a full court press on the government of Park Geun-hye. They've been offering financial incentives to South Korea, major financial engagement, if South Korea shifts its alliance from the United States to China. And there's some indications that may be happening right now. The big battle is over the THAAD missile defense system, which the commander, Curtis Scaparotti, has requested because of the missile threat from North Korea, and yet the Chinese are pressing South Korea not to deploy that system. They're also wanting the Huawei Technologies, the state-owned company that's been linked to cyber espionage, to have free access to bid on telecommunications infrastructure in South Korea. So I see it in that context. And, of course, the threat is real. Unfortunately, the Obama administration has done nothing to address the North Korean nuclear and missile threat. I mean, zero. There haven't been any efforts at all, and this is a growing major threat.
Well, I guess the only thing you could say that they have done is that they have been clearing the way for the Iranians to do basically the same thing that the Clinton administration did with the North Koreans before them, and that is clear the way, enable, legitimate even, really, their nuclear weapons ambitions. And, of course, the partnership between the Iranians and the North Koreans means that, I guess, Bill Gertz, if the North Koreans have 40 nuclear weapons, you can bet that they're making some of those, certainly the technology and know-how, available to the Iranians as well. Let me switch gears, Bill. You've also been writing about a real and obviously growing danger from hacking. Talk about what the FBI has been saying about this and the various places where this threat is now manifesting itself among other places, high government offices.
Yes, the FBI this week sent out a special notice warning all law enforcement and public government officials to be on alert for hacker attacks. They didn't provide the rationale, but it's clear that recent incidents, police violence and protests against police have triggered cyber attacks by the group Anonymous. So that seems to be the case. This is one of the most sophisticated hacker groups. They're not state-sponsored, but they've supported terrorists in the past, specifically Hamas and groups in the Middle East. So they're a serious danger, and the FBI warned law enforcement officials that they should be on the alert, and also members of their family. The specific warning urged all of these people to use caution when posting information on social media, as this is a major intelligence gathering place for these hackers to find information for future attacks.
We've been hearing about this problem of not just Anonymous, but the Iranians, even the Islamic State engaging in hacking. We've been hearing a lot about how the State Department's emails and other services have been penetrated by hackers. We've even heard that our electric grid has been successfully subjected to attack, particularly interesting because there are now reports that takedown of the grid in Turkey was engineered by the Iranians a few weeks ago. Bill, let me turn quickly, lastly, to some bookmaking you're doing on the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Talk about who you think is the leading candidate, and then I've got a guess as well.
Defense officials tell me that the one of the leading candidates, not the leading candidate, but one of the leading candidates, is General Dunford, the Marine Corps Commandant and most recently the commander in Afghanistan. He is in the race. There's a number of other officials, and notably the Pacific Command commander, Admiral Samuel Locklear, who has been one of the most politically attuned to the Obama administration, is also angling for the job. So it seems that those are the two guys. Now, Locklear is interesting in that he has called climate change, not North Korea and China, as the major threats in the Pacific. So this kind of aligns him with the kind of liberal left agenda of the Obama administration.
And presumably endears him to them. But my candidate, Bill, and I don't have any evidence for this other than speculation, that might also be the dark horse, if I can use that expression, is Admiral Michelle Howard, who is now the Vice Chief of Naval Operations, a Navy four-star admiral. And it would fit with the profile of the Barack Obama administration, that they have populated so many of the senior ranks of the national security agencies and cabinet positions with women, I presume, as a part of this sort of left agenda and feminist agenda, about which we're going to speak more momentarily with Elaine Donnelly, specifically the effort to bring women into combat in the United States Armed Forces. Bill, we have to leave it at that. I thank you so much for all that you do at the Washington Free Beacon and the Washington Times, and not least your weekly visits with us. It's one of the high points of our week, and thank you very much for all of it. Keep it up. Come back to us again very soon. Elaine Donnelly is next, among other things, on a very important study on women in combat in the United Kingdom. Straight ahead.
to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.